Thanks for listening to the Jason Smith Show with Mike Harmon podcast. Be sure to catch us live every weeknight, 10 p.m. to 2 a.m. Eastern, 7 to 11 p.m. Pacific on Fox Sports Radio. Find your local station for the Jason Smith Show with Mike Harmon at foxsportsradio.com or stream us live every night on the iHeartRadio app by searching FSR.
Now let's get this party started.
You're listening to Fox Sports Radio.
Greetings, welcome inside hour three of the Jason Smith Show with my best friend Mike Harmon, live from the Geico Studios, where everyone is still buzzing over the Heat's 112-109 win over the Celtics. They take a 3-1 lead in the Eastern Conference Finals. They are one game away from the NBA Finals. More on this game in a second, but obviously want to reiterate again our thoughts with everyone in Louisville with the protests going on tonight as outrage has erupted across the United States over Breonna Taylor's death. As we saw today, the lack of charging the officers in her killing has spawned this. And of course, hopefully everything can go and we can have protests and we can be able to have things that, let's just say, go the way they should go. But obviously that's not the case tonight. We saw two Louisville officers were shot as protesters marched into the streets. So our thoughts, of course, with everyone in Louisville and across the United States tonight after what has been happening over the past few hours. And look, it's impossible to ignore because the NBA players, like, look, this is part of the deal now. You know, forever forward with the NBA, you can say, well, I don't know about social justice messaging. This is the sport. The NBA players have decided we are stepping up for what we believe. We're going to say what we believe in and what we think should happen. And when something happens we disagree with, we're going to talk about it. The NBA is the most social messaging sport there is. And there's no putting that back in the bottle. And this is how it's going to be. And going forward, it's going to be hand in hand that when we talk about social messaging and what's going on, the NBA is going to be the leaders of that. We've already seen LeBron James, Brad Stevens, everybody across the NBA weighing in on this. And it is a really, really big thing, of course, throughout the country. But our thoughts with Louisville and across the globe tonight, as everybody is looking at Louisville and hoping that things can go as, you know, as well as they can, but already we're off to the first couple hours where you're holding your crossing your fingers going, please let everything be okay.
Well, and that's the thing. I mean, it flows out, and look, you had things mobilized before there was even an announcement of what was coming down. So people in the streets and certainly in cities across the country. So you hope for calmer heads. You hope everybody tries to wrap their arms around all the facts of the case and, you know, make sure you dig a little deeper than a headline, because, you know, unfortunately, we know how it works in a microwave media at times. So, you know, do your due diligence, do your research, and look, we're just looking for basic humanity, right? I mean, that's what it comes down to, treating each other well, knowing that this is a situation that got out of hand, complicated, a lot of facts, and trying to sort it all out. What it came down to is they couldn't bring criminal charges, right? There was already, I think it was, what, $12 million in civil monies attached to it. So still more details, more conversations to be had here. And look, everybody keeps doing the vote messaging. Educate yourself on the process of who's running for office in your town, because, you know, a lot of decisions that you may shake your fist at, they're not federal decisions, they're local. So make sure you're aware of that too. I know a lot of attention goes on the national side of things, but also to take a look at where change can happen down the street from where you live.
So again, our thoughts with everyone, with you, with us here in Louisville, and hopefully we can try to keep coming together, and, you know, all we can do is keep trying, and hopefully, you know, there's a better day. And again, we'll continue to monitor the situation throughout the show tonight. But our business obviously is sports, and look, we understand, hey, it's a distraction from what goes on in the real world. But sometimes things happen where we mention it, and we talk about it because it's important. And obviously that is the story tonight. But the story for us in sports is obviously Tyler Hero and the fact that I picked the Heat to go to the NBA Finals before the playoffs started. Because I don't know if you know that, Mike, or not, but I did that. I picked the Heat to go
before
the playoffs.
You know what? I have some blue emu being delivered to your house. For the number of times you've mentioned it tonight, that shoulder's got to be sore as hell.
Whew, man, I'll tell you what. The Heat win, and we spent a lot of time talking about Tyler Hero tonight, and of course, because he was the hero. He was the man of the hour. He comes off the bench for 37 points and helps to lead the Heat to victory. It was still a big game from Jimmy Buckets, still a big game from Goran Dragic, and the Heat now find themselves one step away from the NBA Finals. Now, from the Heat perspective, we've seen that everything is going exactly according to plan. The Heat have really hit no speed bumps. They have hit knockwood. Oh, why do I say that now? But really, everything has gone according to plan for the Heat. You know, they gelled at the right time. It's Jimmy Butler's team, and everything kind of falls in around it. Goran Dragic is, hey, okay, I'm the second or third option. That works out fine. Tyler Hero off the bench is the first option. Bam Adebayo is a guy that's going to be tough underneath. He's going to get his points, going to get his rebounds. The Heat, they know who they are. All right, and you know, we talked about it a lot in the NFL that when you know who you are, you have a much better chance to succeed. The Raiders, they know who they are. We watch them play Monday night. They're a mid-range passing team. They will mid-range pass you to death. We will throw the ball 8 yards down the field to 11 different guys. We don't care. We're going to mid-range you into oblivion. But they're 2-0. They know who they are. Are their personnel great? No, it's not great. Is their personnel okay? Yeah, Derek Carr is okay. Josh Jacobs is very good. Henry Ruggs looks like he could be a star, but really, the Raiders, they just move the ball around to a lot of different targets, but they know who they are. The Cowboys struggle because they don't know who they are. Are they Dak-driven? Are they Ezekiel Elliott-driven? They don't know yet. They still don't know what, when things come down to it, what kind of team are we? So this is why they struggle. But the Heat, they clearly know who they are. And this is why they've gone through the Eastern Conference playoffs like they are and why they're a game away. Conversely, now you look at the Celtics, right? Mike Celtics, who he picked to get to the NBA Finals. Yeah. Look, they're here in the Conference Finals. They ain't going to be here much longer
if they play right. Like they did for the first half tonight. I mean, the fact that it was close at all.
Oh, yeah, with Tatum not even scoring, right? And this is my point, is that the Celtics don't really know who they are yet. The Celtics have a lot of talent, and a lot of it is young. But because of different reasons, they don't know who they are. Is Jason Tatum a guy you can really count on all the time? Look, I love the guy. I told you I would have taken him number one overall in the draft that year because he was just that good. And certainly he has shown that, man, I can be that good. But then you get a game tonight where he doesn't score in the first half and another game with 6 turnovers. I mean, look, the Celtics had 19 turnovers tonight. That is a killer. He has had a couple of huge games where he has had big turnovers that has killed the Celtics. Kemba Walker. Can you count on Kemba Walker to be your guy? You thought he coming in, this is going to be our guy. He's going to come in the backcourt, and he's going to be the guy we go to big shots. Boy, you see how good we're going to be with Kemba Walker. And they're still trying to find the way and the role for Kemba Walker. And now you have Gordon Hayward. Hey, I'm back. I'm off the bench. I'm going to score for you. Is his best role off the bench? Is it as a starter? The Celtics still don't know who they are. They have not figured out that part. They have a lot of talent, and Brad Stevens is a phenomenal head coach. But when I say to you, who are the Celtics? You would say, well, Jason Tatum's going to be a star, but he's still a little bit here. And, you know, Kemba Walker, they should get more out of him a little bit. You know, Smart and Jaylen Brown are good in the backcourt, and, you know, Jaylen Brown can make big shots too. Yeah, you got Gordon Hayward off the bench. They have a lot of talent, but they don't have that identity yet, and they don't know who they are. And when you come up against a team that does, this is what happens. You still have the Celtics have wild swings from game to game from their star players. One game, Kemba Walker could be terrific. You go, well, this is what we're getting out of Kemba Walker. Look at this. He had 25 points tonight. He was terrific. And then the game before, Kemba Walker goes for 5. And it's like, how do you play 52 minutes in an East semis game against Toronto and score 5 points? How does Kemba Walker do that? I don't understand. But then he has a game with 29 points. He's still too erratic and up in the air. And if they find roles for everybody where this is what you expect, this is where we are, things would work better for the Celtics. That's all they need to do is figure out who they are. And once they do, then think they're going to hit that next level because they're already this good. But they'll hit that next level as soon as they figure out who they are.
Get crushed in turnover margin 19-8. They out-rebounded the Heat by 6. You look at 14 three-point makes as opposed to 10 for the Heat, but also the Heat with a more efficient and more trips to the free throw line as it went. But, you know, as you're talking it out, it's, well, you know who they are, right? They should. This is the same team. Like, there's not a lot of change here. Just more the Heat and the buy-in to what Spoelstra was selling and defensive principles. The zone defense just wreaked havoc on what the Celtics were trying to do. It's like, all right, you know they're going to throw this at you. Why is it? I mean, I get it. It's Iguodala and Jimmy Butler at the front of it, which is going to make things hard. But, you know, you guys have played together, right? You, in theory, have enough seasoning at this point to where you know where your teammates should be and how to break a zone. And they failed at that time and time again. And, you know, I don't want to bang on Jason Tatum, but he's supposed to be your leader. And he had a monster second half. They just needed him to show up in the first, right? So it was at least another option to avail himself. 0 for 7 from the field as it went through. But, yeah, it's a tough series because on some levels you've got the same mindset, or at least what the theoretical mindset is. But, you know, the head of the snake, when you're talking to the way Jimmy Butler approached things, 24 tonight, and he seemed quiet, right? Because it was all about Tyler Hero, right? So quietly, mm-hmm. You saw Jimmy Butler going to work and putting his stamp on this game as well. And for the Celtics, they make the big run, Tatum with a monster second half, but just not enough to put them over. Because whenever they needed a bucket or they needed a stop, they seemed to find one. And bewildering Brad Stevens and the Celtics with the zone. it's just baffling me how that was so difficult. And some of the turnovers were just silly. Not quite the Jokic, hey, take the ball from me of yesterday. Mm-hmm. I know they won the game, but that 6 minutes was painful to watch, you know, for my Nuggets as we went through. But it's that same principle of, you know, stay with what got you here, right? Now is not the time to panic or be lethargic or whatever else. I get it. Guys have their minds on a lot of things, but for 48 minutes of game clock, you got to focus. And it seemed the winning team, even though the margin was only 3, was certainly the Heat tonight. I would have you know that the Celtics were minus 3.5 for the second half. The differential in the second half was 3.
I'll tell you, you know who the happiest guy in the world is tonight, Mike Harmon, seeing all this zone defense be played, Jim Boeheim. How happy is he? Say, hey, look at this zone. See, zone is working. Look at it.
The principal can go elsewhere. Absolutely.
You know, sure. I was in vogue for a few years. My 2-3 zone. Then we had trouble making the tournament, and suddenly now I'm not the genius anymore. But hey, look at the zone doing so well in the NBA playoffs now. Suddenly, and clearly, it is the difference in this series is that when the Heat go to a zone, the Celtics struggle. They still have not figured it out, even though they yelled at each other after game 2, screaming in the locker room. They haven't figured out the zone, and that's a wrinkle that Eric Spoelstra brought into this round that the Heat had not played previously. And when you know you're breaking down differences in this series, you know the Celtics stars are playing well, the Heat stars are playing well. Hero's 37 points tonight, the outlier, but what the Heat have brought in was, hey, we're going to give you this zone defense and good luck with it. And game 1, it won the game for them. Game 2, it won the game for them. And game 4 tonight, it held them at bay and helped them win. And the Celtics are going to walk away from this and go, we just couldn't solve it. I don't understand. We just couldn't solve what they were doing. This is why I go back to when you have an identity, who's going to be your zone buster, who's going to do this, who's going to do that, things get a little bit easier. But clearly, you know, the Heat are up 3-1 for a reason. And it's not just on the court with the players and getting more from the bench. It's coaching staff too, and Brad Stevens is going to be pulling all that hair out trying to figure out a way to go, we got to win three straight against a team that we can't stop and that we have trouble moving the ball against when they move to a zone. I'd love to see the Celtics make this a series. I'd love to see it go seven because, look, NBA playoffs are always better when you have more games.
Sure.
Now, clearly I want my Heat to win, you know, my Heat, because, you know, I picked them to the finals before the playoffs started. But, hey, seven-game series would be the best. I don't think there's any way we're seeing a seven-game series after this.
No, half of me wants to do the Freddy Krueger thing and reach my arm down the phone line and start slapping you. But the you know, your Heat, I picked them. Yeah, and
Heat.
I picked the Nuggets and the Celtics before it all started. Look, I'm still alive, at least for a little while longer here in terms of those predictions. But, yeah, I don't know what the solution is at this point. The frustration is palpable, and the communication, they just keep seeming to have dips in Boston, right? There's just not that continuity that they had displayed earlier in the season. And, look, the frustration of trying to break a zone and not being able to do it, I get that. I can guess where that bubbles over, and that's where we're at right now. We'll see if they can do a Denver Nuggets-like comeback game five, what, on Friday?
Mm-hmm. There we go. You and I will be here for it.
It is. It's Wednesday, yes.
It's okay. It's Wednesday. Oh, hey, and speaking of Wednesday, our latest episode of Special Teams is available now on iTunes, iHeartRadio app, basically wherever you listen to podcasts. Every week, Mike and I look back at a special year and some special teams that were special that year in sports. And right now, we're kind of in a run of looking back at big NFL games affected by extreme weather. We had the Freezer Bowl last week, the 81 AFC championship game between the Chargers and the Bengals. And up right now is the snowplow game, the infamous Patriots 3, Dolphins 0 game played in the 1980s in which, hey, the Patriots won because they had the field cleared off for by a snowplow for a game-winning field goal by John Smith. Now, look, you've seen the highlight many a times, but if you listen to the podcast, you'll find out how the Dolphins almost won the game afterwards, the incredible people who got a game ball following it, what the Patriots players said after the game that will make you go, what are they saying, and how the Dolphins actually went to the NFL and wanted the result of the game overturned. The snowplow game. If you think you know a little bit about it, we have some extra special stuff in there for you. Again, it's Special Teams with Jason Smith and Mike Harmon. You can listen to it, download it on iTunes, use the iHeartRadio app, wherever you listen to podcasts. Make sure you rate us, give us 5 stars, and we'll love you forever and ever and ever. We'll have more on the NBA coming up a bit, but straight ahead, we remember an absolute legend in the National Football League. Plus, the question we should really be asking about Russell Wilson and the MVP. That's coming up next right here, Fox Sports Radio.
Be sure to catch live editions of the Jason Smith Show with Mike Harmon weekdays at 10 p.m. Eastern, 7 p.m. Pacific on Fox Sports Radio and the iHeartRadio app.
Fox Sports Radio, the Jason Smith Show with my best friend, Mike Harmon. Blue Emu Maximum Pain Relief works fast and you won't stink. It's pharmacist recommended odor-free pain relief. From muscle pain, backache, strain sprains, even arthritis, there's no stinging or burning involved. It is simple pain relief. Blue Emu Maximum Pain Relief works fast, and you won't stink. We'll have more on Tyler Hero, the hero we all needed, coming up later on this hour. But some big stuff out of the NFL, and clearly, you know, we lost a legend today in Gale Sayers, Pro Football Hall of Famer, who is one of the greatest to ever play, passed away at the age of 77, the former Bears star who had his career cut short because of numerous knee injuries, was just an absolute incredible player to watch on the field. You know, look, he was too young for me, but seeing highlights of Gale Sayers and how difficult he was to tackle, and despite the fact he was a bigger running back, he was 6 feet, he still had the elusiveness of a smaller guy. Gale Sayers was absolutely lightning. And even though he only played a few years, he's still a Pro Football Hall of Famer, averaged 5 yards a carry. And many people know him, of course, because of the famous movie Brian's Song. Look, that's, you know, that's part of who he is. You know, sure. A movie that was made in the early 1970s starring Billy D. Williams and James Caan. And it was based on a true story of the friendship between Gale Sayers and Brian Piccolo, who was his teammate on the Bears. Brian Piccolo contracted a very rare and aggressive form of cancer. And Gale Sayers, the movie was about their friendship and how things went while he was suffering. And it was great to see Billy Dee Williams and James Caan both tweet out great thoughts about them. And Billy Dee Williams said about what a great honor it was for him to play Gale Sayers in the movie. I mean, this movie is 50 years old and still people talk about it. And it means everything to the older crowd of NFL fans who, you know, grew up. This is like the first big NFL movie, you know, that you could see. And it was really heavy topic and it was something different. And it was great to see people remembering this movie because in the end, it remembers Gale Sayers. And, you know, there wasn't many guys like Gale Sayers. And all you got to do is watch a couple minutes of his highlights from his heyday. And you go, my goodness, this guy was something.
Well, I think, you know, it's interesting. One of the things passing the timeline today, is the 20th anniversary of the release of the movie Remember the Titans. Another football movie that talked about trying to bridge, you know, racial lines and find some commonality and where we're more alike than different. And that was certainly one of the things in Brian's song and why they tried to do a remake. Go back and watch the original. Don't touch the touch the remake. Go back and watch Billy Dee and James Caan. In what they brought to bear in that movie. You know, just an amazing career. For me, growing up in Chicago, we had Walter Payton, and then we had the footage and the legend that was Gale Sayers. Because at that point, you know, like you're a kid, you know, guy in his 40s or early 50s is old. And
yeah.
Now I look in the mirror and I'm like, God. But you think about what he was at that time. Like, he was the elder statements, and the way people spoke of him with such reverence, you know, from broadcasters to, you know, men in my family, you know, folks that were watching football. Grandma chimed in a bit too, but you know, grandpa and my uncles and my dad going, you know, this was the guy, right? It's him and Jim Brown were for them the two best that just stood out beyond all others. And I know today a lot of comparisons, his career cut short due to the injury. So you have the obvious comparison 1-to-1 with Terrell Davis and what his career was, right? That black, that big flash, trying to say, of you know, talent and just the huge statistics, but a career cut short. And then Barry Sanders, who you and I watched, and certainly me, again, going back to the Bears, no matter if the Lions were terrible, you knew where you were in for a day of watching just an artist at work, you know, -4, -4. Oh, by the way, 75 and a touchdown. And away he goes, you know, dancing, but just reading the lines and trying to find his gap. And you go through all the video footage going out of Gale Sayers today. And I mean, that's one of the things that is just the hallmark of, all right, watch this run. Patience, patience. And then he's got the speed of a sprinter, so off he goes, and absolutely dominant form. The Kansas Comet, the apt nickname as it was applied, College Football Hall of Famer, Pro Football Hall of Famer, actually served as the athletic director for SIU for a few years. I mean, this is a guy that was into a lot of stuff. The last few years of his life, unfortunately, a lot of health concerns, lawsuits against the league and related to, you know, head trauma, etc. But today we commemorate, you know, the greatness and a reminder to grab hold of the good and take a look back at your heroes and smile for a minute for what they were able to put on display.
You want the quintessential Gale Sayers story. I'll tell you this. This is the guy who the first 5 years in the league was a Pro Bowler and a first-team All-Pro. That's how good he was. In 1968, near the end of the season in November, he tore the ACL, MCL, and meniscus in his knee. So
that's
he
bad.
Missed. Yeah, I mean, this is an injury that now, if you're talking about an NFL player in November who tears the ACL, the MCL, and the meniscus, this is something that keeps you out for an entire full year. and you get to the point where a year from the injury, are you really going to rush the guy back for the final, you know, four games of the season? No, this is where you miss the end of that season, you miss another whole season, and then you come back a year after that, right? That's what that injury is. And this is sometimes where I think about mind over medicine, because he gets hurt late in November, right? ACL, MCL, meniscus, like that's it for him, right? This is the end of 68. He comes back in 69, plays in every game, and leads the league in rushing. Okay? He doesn't just come back and play. He comes back and leads the league in rushing. You talk about great moments in superstar guy stud history. This is Gale Sayers, and it was unfortunately his last real year in the NFL, because he only played in four games the next 2 years. His knee was just in such bad shape. But boy, you talk, this is where, like I say, mind over medicine, because this is where, okay, you're out, you're seriously hurt, you're not going to come back. And this is partly because you don't know what the after effects are. All right, I got a knee injury, and we'll have Rappel go out there. I'm not injured if I don't think I'm injured. And he goes out there and he runs for over 1,000 yards and leads the NFL in rushing. And it's another amazing season from the guy. Less than a year removed from all of those injuries, goes through training camp, everything else comes in, boom, leads the league in rushing. You don't see that. You don't see that anywhere. And you know the pain it must have gone through coming back. But sometimes when you think, I can go play, you go play. And look at the year he had there. I can't get over it. That's my favorite Gale Sayers story. You can see all the highlights, see everything else, but the fact he comes back less than a year and that's what he does, oh, man, that's hero stuff.
4.4 yards per carry that year, the only back to go over 1,000 yards. Can't claim to have known the man. I met him a couple of times at different events around Chicago. Always just a crowd of folks just watching his every move. Like, just the great reverence. And I know longtime media members in Chicago that had worked with Gale Sayers just devastated today. Another of that long list of Bears greats, Chicago sports greats, passes away. A little trivia on Brian Song for you really quick, though. George Halas was, in fact, played by Jack Warden.
Yeah, Jack Warden was in that. I love Jack Warden. Was so funny. I mean, not in this movie, obviously, but yes.
Yeah. And then you had a number of players in there as themselves, including Dick Butkus, Ed Obradovich, Jack Concannon, amongst others. A little too inside Chicago there, but just kind of funny, because so often we see, all right, how many actors do they have to cast to try to bring? Not, hey, you guys are out of season a little bit. You want to earn some extra scratch instead of whatever the normal jobs you would take in the off season, right? Because let's talk about, you know, what the money was there, and certainly the reputation of Halas in terms of, you know, handing over any extra cash. You guys want to be in a movie? Sure. What's the day rate?
and there was the ABC movie of the week.
That's
like,
right.
This wasn't something that got released in cinemas, and like, this wasn't Love Story. You know, this wasn't something you would have. This was an ABC movie of the week that still lives. You know, 50 years later, people still talk about Brian Song and Brian Piccolo and Gale Sayers. My mom and grandmother both knew the movie. One of my grandmother's favorite movies. You don't know about Brian Piccolo? And I go, I don't know who Brian Piccolo is. I'm 6 years old. I don't know. She made me look up who Brian Piccolo was in this movie and everything else. And I mean, this is an ABC movie of the week. We're going to shoot this movie and put it on TV on a Friday night. And look at where it is 50 years later. Unbelievable.
Well, The Legend of Khan and Billy Dee Williams, the speech that everybody quotes, all sorts of Emmy nominations. And Jack Warden won for actor in a supporting role, I'll have you know.
Be sure to catch live editions of The Jason Smith Show with Mike Harmon weekdays at 10 p.m. Eastern, 7 p.m. Pacific.
With all this talk with Russell Wilson, and he should be the MVP, now he's now the odds-on favorite to win the MVP in Vegas. It's like fans and some members of the media want to bully everybody into saying Russell Wilson's the MVP this year. He's got to win the MVP, and any other view is not right, and it doesn't matter anybody else. Okay, the real focus shouldn't be Russell Wilson being the MVP. And is he the leader so far? Yes, absolutely. And if it comes out to be, yeah, great, but it's 2 weeks. So with Russell Wilson, why are we even having a conversation about Russell Wilson being the MVP? It's 2 weeks into the NFL season, all right? That's a ridiculous conversation. The conversation that's worth having, that needs to happen, is How has Russell Wilson not gotten a single MVP vote in his career up until now? That's the big question. Not that, okay, you know, we should win this year. Maybe he will. I mean, he's had a great first 2 weeks, and he's already up at the top, and he's one of, you know, it's Russell Wilson and Josh Allen and Cam Newton. Everybody's talking about them. Yeah, like I said, it's 2 weeks. But how has the guy not gotten a vote up until now? Because that doesn't make sense. That's what I'd like to see expanded on a little bit. Why have no voters given him a vote for MVP? Do they not like him? Do they think he's a phony? Do they, yeah, has he said stuff to them? Because that really doesn't make sense. Because there's years where clearly he should have gotten at least half the votes. There's a couple of years he should have been the MVP. Not only that, he hasn't gotten one vote. That's the conversation we should be having and what should be looked into. Not, well, let's make sure he wins it this year, because he's had a great track record so far and he's had nothing to show for it in MVP votes.
Yeah, I'm just going to put it this way. I'm not letting you get me into a conversation about who should have their votes stripped or anything. The other people have had that fight. I am not going into that fight.
I want to let's take the votes away from everybody.
Well, okay, if it's all equal, equal opportunists. But no, that's certainly the case with Russell Wilson. It's just a curious statistical anomaly that just leaves me confused as hell as to how the voting process rolls through. But as we know, you know, narratives form, folks attach themselves to it, or the, you know, sometimes there's just a statistical outburst by a player that just can't be denied. We've certainly had a couple of years of those in a row, so we have that working for you as well. As the season goes on, I'm sure someone will close the gap, right? If the Cowboys win this week, that probably puts a little bit of a dent into that MVP talk, right? So, you know, there'll be an ebb and flow. But once you get a good narrative and story going, it's hard to break. We know that. Folks will leave facts or any other evidence to the contrary on the wayside, no matter what it is. And certainly with MVP voting, you know, we fight about it all the time. So I think there's certainly more to that as we flow. Russell Wilson, what, two more incompletions than touchdown passes through 2 weeks?
Yeah. I mean, it's phenomenal.
How ridiculous
it's
is that?
Amazing. I mean, he's got 9 incompletions and he's got 9 touchdowns. I mean, he's got 11 incompletions
11
and 9 touchdowns.
Right?
I mean, that's insane.
Yeah, so it's insanity through 2 weeks. Obviously a pace that cannot be held up. I got to think someone brings something for the Seattle defense here. It won't be Dallas, I can tell you that. But when we look at the Russell Wilson career, right, as of now, he's the defined by the Pete Carroll play call and the interception at the goal line.
Yes, which is unfortunate, yes.
Right?
But this is still a guy with, I mean, he's got 6 Pro Bowl seasons, all right?
Yeah.
He's had, in 2017, he led the league in touchdowns, right? In 2015, he led the league in quarterback rating. In 2016, he led the league in yard passing per game. He had 4 fourth quarter comebacks last year. If Dak Prescott had, you got to give Dak the MVP. He's had all these things. Not saying that this year he should have been the MVP, but it's, in any of these years, the guy doesn't get a vote. The guy, something is not right when he doesn't get a vote. All the things he's accomplished, there's something not right when he hasn't gotten one vote with everything he's done.
Mm. All right, it's time to just tear it down. Tear it down, just like the Hall of Fame voting, just like Jason Cole's trying to do there.
We'll get Jason Cole on. Maybe that's the idea. We'll get Jason Cole on tomorrow and he can talk to us about it. That's not a bad idea.
That could be part of the crusade. I got it.
Look at you thinking, Mike Harmon. I dig that about you.
That's what I do, man. I try to bring it all together.
Twitter at How About a Fresca, Mike at Swollen Dome, the Jason Smith Show with my best friend, Mike Harmon. Coming up next, we got more on Tyler Herro's incredibly large night, plus 2 more big NFL stories we have to get into. One, I'm going to bite my lip, we're going to get into, and one is just insane. So keep it right here. This is Fox.
Be sure to catch live editions of The Jason Smith Show with Mike Harmon weekdays at 10 p.m. Eastern, 7 p.m. Pacific on Fox Sports Radio and the iHeartRadio app.
Fox Sports Radio, The Jason Smith Show with my best friend, Mike Harmon.
I'm an
live from the Geico Studios. As we celebrate the Heat's win over the Celtics tonight, we celebrate the great game that we saw. The Heat win at 112-109. Yeah. Jason Tatum, no points in the first half, makes up for it with a 28-point second half. Not enough, as Tyler Hero off the bench for 37 points, most points scored in a conference finals game by a rookie, and the Heat are now one game away from the NBA Finals. So, we celebrate the big night from Tyler Hero by playing the Tyler Hero game. Uh-oh. Alex Teichert has a bunch of songs with the word hero in them. Our job is to identify them, and we see who wins, and this is how we do it, the Tyler Hero game. Alex Teichert, whatever you have picked off of Spotify, we are ready for it.
All right, Jay, so do you remember how we last left off when we played the game last? Was Mike in the lead? Were you in the lead? Was it
nobody in the lead? I think I was
blindly,
in the lead by a lot.
Guessing. We both knew Nickelback. I guessed that it was an anime song. It was an unmitigated disaster, and I'm glad we're bringing it back.
I think we were tied. Let's say we were tied.
Okay, and I think you guys brushed over a very important thing there that Mike said, Nickelback!
Oh, what are you doing?
Okay, thank you.
Can we have a
song?
Well,
we played one of their songs. Go ahead, buddy.
Can we have a song? Oh, this is Foo Fighters.
There it is.
There we go. Nice. That's Foo Fighters. There we go.
Yeah.
Okay, well done, what. Well done.
Foo Fighters, they were one of those bands in the aughts when I say that's a vast barren wasteland of pop culture. Foo Fighters was one of the bands that owned the aughts.
You keep adding bands to the aughts, Jason, yes. I notice.
Yeah, but they still keep getting it done, man. And when they opened for the Police, man, that was a rocking good time.
You guys ready for the next?
Ready for the next one.
Ah, a little David Bowie
Bowie and Heroes.
Nice, okay.
I'm glad you're playing songs that everybody knows and not like, here's a random anime song.
Whoa!
From, movie called Heroes.
I'll have you know One Punch was very famous, okay?
And One Punch is not famous. Two Punches was more famous. Three Punches more famous than that.
Okay, you need to stop with all like the extras, okay?
Okay. Go ahead. Give us another hero song.
Any guesses?
It's Carly Rae Jepsen.
That is not.
That's a pretty good guess, though.
Yeah, that high pitch. I don't know.
I always would think this was the one girl from, what was that movie?
Dove Cameron.
No.
Nicely done.
This is Alesso. A-L-E-S-S-O.
Oh, Alesso. Remaking
yeah, featuring
Heroes.
Tove
okay.
Lo or something
all
like
right,
that.
All right.
Give me a second.
Mike and I are still tied. We're still tied here because I had the first one. You had David Bowie right before I did. So very good.
I'll give you lunch if you can name this band.
Oh,
is this from Blink 182 times?
Oh, yeah. It's got to say Blink 182. It's not The Offspring.
No.
Is it Fastball?
No. Slowball would have been better guess, but no.
Shinedown. No idea.
This is Boys Likes Girls.
Oh.
Never heard of Boys Likes Girls?
Boys like girls.
Really? That's no all? Boy like girls? Really?
No. Or girls like
all
boys.
Right, give me one more. Hold on.
Girls like boys like me. This is not the same song?
Stop it. Can you name the movie this is from?
Dan Fogelberg.
Oh, my goodness. Is it from Juno?
No.
No, it sounds like it might be from Juno.
From Winnie the Pooh?
Winnie the Pooh?
No, it's not from Winnie. It's from a movie called Boyhood.
Oh, it's from this from Boyhood?
Yes. Yeah, this is Family of the Year.
I know what Boyhood is.
Are you sure?
I don't know the song. Yeah, the movie was great. And then the last hour, I hated everybody in the movie.
Oh, God.
That would happen.
Boyhood was really overrated. It was
the last
great.
One was going to be Mariah Carey, so there's that, too.
Well, maybe we'll play that coming up next hour.
There we go.
Big stories out of the NFL coming up next. Fox.